When the caravan started from Egypt, their father, who was in Canaan, said, "Certainly I feel the scent of Yusuf." Now this too is what? Allah's izn. And it is not Hazrat Yaqub alayhis-salam's ilm of the unseen. Otherwise, Yusuf alayhis-salam was in Egypt from before. He never felt this scent because at that time it was not Allah's izn. But today, with Allah's leave, he sensed these feelings. So if any hardship befalls or you gain any ni'mat, so all this is with Allah's izn and there is no one else's power behind it. Even though you may think I am out of my mind, the people who heard him said, "By Allah, you are still suffering from your old illusion." But when the bearer of the good news arrived, he cast the shirt of Yusuf over his face and he regained his sight. Then he said, "Did not I tell you that I know from Allah what you do not know?" Now he doesn't say it's my personal ilm that I know the unseen, but he says, "I know from Allah what you do not know." And this is because prophets know what ordinary people do not know. They said, "Father, pray for the forgiveness of our sins. We have indeed done wrong." He replied, "Soon I will ask forgiveness for you from my Rabb. Surely he is the one who is forgiving, merciful." So what does this show? If man commits a big mistake, even if all the brothers together, they throw one of their brother in a well, or take him away from their father's eye, or disobey, or pains the parents. So in any state, man should not despair from Allah's mercy. And this is Allah's promise, that no matter, even if man commits a very big mistake, and then he turns to Allah, does tawbah, so Allah Ta'ala forgives all his sins. And here the father forgives and inshallah Allah too will forgive. So that is why it is called Ahsanul Qasas. That there are many beautiful lessons in this story to learn. And you know, istighfar, to seek forgiveness, is the source of forgiveness of sins. Hazrat Aisha رضي الله عنها narrates, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم would excessively read Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. I asked, "O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I see that you read this zikr excessively." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "My Rabb has informed me that very soon I will see a sign in my ummah. And when I've seen that sign, so I started doing this zikr exclusively." And what was that sign? That sign was Surah An-Nasr, victory, that they saw the victory, victory came. So what does this show? Reading istighfar, when you see some good days, prosperity, huh? This shows istighfar should not be read only at the time when you have done some sins, but also do istighfar at the moment of gaining ni'mat. That, "O Allah, you've given this ni'mat to me, let it remain with me, so that it may not be that because of any of my mistake, shortcoming, this ni'mat is taken away from me." Then said, when they came to Yusuf, he asked his parents to lodge with himself and said, "Now enter the city. Allah willing, you will live here in peace." And this became the reason of Bani Israel coming out of Palestine and they moved to Egypt. After entering the city, he raised his parents to the throne and they all fell down in prostration before him. Yusuf alayhi salam said, "O my father, this is the interpretation of my dream which I dreamt long before. My Rabb has really made it come true. It was his grace that he took me out of prison and brought you all here from the desert." Now, the dream was true, but after 40 years, he saw that it was fulfilled. So if you see a good dream, never be upset that when is it going to be fulfilled. Because near Allah for success, you need to have sabr, wait. And also for the acceptance of dua, you have to have sabr. Hazrat Umar رضي الله عنه is saying, "I do not worry for the acceptance of my duas. I worry for dua when I have the tawfiq of doing dua. Then acceptance will be there." And we see all are bowing to Yusuf alayhi salam. But Yusuf alayhi salam is not a prey to arrogance. And he says, it's all Allah's ihsan. And he says, it's Allah's favor that he took me out of prison. It's Allah's ihsan that he took you out from that desert. And we are meeting together, and thus we meet. And brought you all here from the desert, even though Shaitan had stirred up strife between me and my brothers. Surely my Rabb is gracious to whom he wills. Surely he is the one who is the knowledgeable, the wise. رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. O my Rabb, you have indeed given me sovereignty and taught me the interpretation of dreams. فَاتِرَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. O creator of heavens and the earth, أَنْتَ وَلِيِّ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. You my protector in this world and in the hereafter. تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا. Make me die as Muslim. وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. And admit me among the righteous. Now this is the dua of that person whom Allah Ta'ala granted beauty exceeding all the other humans, and gave him ilm, so much wealth, granted him fame and rank, and all his relatives, they bowed to him. What more ni'mat one can get? And he was granted with anything that one can think of. But look at his humbleness, that he's saying, أَنْتَ وَلِيِّ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. What is he saying? You are my protector in this world and the hereafter. O Allah, I do not trust any of these material things. I do not consider any of these things as mine. But I consider you as my Rabb. You my protector, my friend, my well-wisher. أَنْتَ وَلِيِّ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. You are my supporter in this world and then in the hereafter. I trust upon you. Neither I trust my wealth, nor my relatives, nor this authority or rule, nor any other thing, but أَنْتَ وَلِيِّ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. You are my protector in this world and also in the hereafter. And then he says, تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا. My desire, my wish, that you give me death as a Muslim, that my end result is good. I leave this world with Iman. This is my desire. And وَالْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. What else he asked? He asked the company of righteous people. Ola, you grant me friendship of pious people. I am with righteous people. I sit among them and I am granted their company in the Akhirah as well. And you know, this is the best ni'mat and treasure of this world. It is said a predecessor was granted with Laylatul Qadr. And he saw some light, that is, it was the time of acceptance of dua. So he did a dua. And he was asked, what did you ask Allah? And he said, I asked for a good friend. People said, you lost this chance. You should have asked for wealth, rule, health, children, happiness of this world. He said, no, the best wealth or possession of the world is friendship with a good, pious person. If you get this, you're granted with every big blessing that you can think of. And it is true. The best gift that one can give to others is true love and good friendship. Who gets a good friend is fortunate, because he will hold his hand and guide him towards the right path. He will not deceive him or embarrass him. He would wish well for him. Then said, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ أَجْمَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this story which we have revealed to you is a tale of the unseen. For you were not there, that is, with the brothers of Yusuf, when they collectively conspired and schemed against him. That is, now Allah Ta'ala is saying this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You did not see all this incident with your own eyes. You were not present there watching all this. But Allah says, I informed you of this through wahi. Yet, strive as you may, most men are not going to become believers. Even though you do not demand any recompense for this information, this Quran is nothing but a reminder for all the worlds. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. A dhikr for all the world. For those who want can benefit from it. There are many signs in the heavens and the earth which they pass by, yet they pay no attention to them. As a result, most of them who believe in Allah also commit shirk. Do they feel secure that Allah's punishment will not fall on them, or that the hour of doom will not come upon them suddenly while they do not suspect it? Here Allah Ta'ala complains that it is me who grants everything to man. But man, if he believes in me, and along with it, they do shirk. So Allah Ta'ala says, إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. They believe in Allah's being, but they also associate other partners to Allah. Tell them plainly, this is my way. I invite you to Allah with short knowledge which I and my followers possess. Glory be to Allah. And I am not of the mushrikeens. That is, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this dunya and in akhirah will announce that I am absolved from those who do shirk. Because Allah Ta'ala greatly dislikes shirk. And the biggest baiti is to remove shirk from people's life and to join people to Allah Ta'ala. And this is the deen's preaching. What? That join people to Allah. And Allah's being becomes the most important to people. His love becomes the most intense. O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we did not send Rasuls before you, except that they were human beings. Because see, he came from humans. Now if they were jinns or angels living on this earth, not man, then of course some other creation would have come as a Nabi to teach them. But as man, human lives on this earth, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam too was raised from among the humans. To whom we sent our revelations after choosing them from the people of their town, have these unbelievers not travelled through the land and seen what was the end of those who passed away before them? From their destiny you should know that the home of the hereafter is better for those who are righteous. Why don't you understand? Respite was granted until the Rasuls gave up hope of their people and realized that they were being treated as liars. Our help came to them, and we delivered those whom we pleased, and our punishment was not averted from the criminal people. There is a lesson in these stories of former people for the men of common sense. The story of Yusuf revealed in the Quran is not an invented tale, but a confirmation of previous scriptures, a detailed exposition of all the things, and is a guidance and blessing for the people who believe. Here Allah Ta'ala says, وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, a detailed exposition of all things. What does this mean? See, where there is a need of man's guidance, it is not that man should start finding the details or solutions of mathematics in this book, Quran. And then if he cannot find, he says, this verse, it's not correct. Allah Ta'ala says, there is lesson in these stories for who? لِأُلِلْ albab, men of intellect. And we have many lessons in the surah. But you see, one thing that is very important to learn is, that we read in the story, the end result of jealousy is not good. On seeing any ni'mat or blessing or goodness or piety of someone, we should not be jealous or never plot against that person, so that the blessings are taken away from that person and he is deprived of that khair. So this is dislike near Allah. The end of an envious person is never good. He is never successful, but he loses many things. First thing, jealousy in his heart creates restlessness in him and takes away peace from his heart. So the ability to do piety deeds ends. And secondly, he also wastes his piety deeds. Rasulullah ﷺ said, the disease of jealousy which was present among people before you has crept inside you. Beware, enmity mows down. I do not say that it mows or shaves the hair on the head. Rather, it ends the deen. That is, jealousy, enmity ends the deen. This was the gist of a hadith. Hazrat Abu Hurairah narrates from Rasulullah ﷺ. Rasulullah ﷺ said, refrain from hasad, jealousy, because jealousy eats away piety deeds like fire eats wood. Rasulullah said, refrain from destroying relations with each other because it erases all the goodness. That is, it creates grudge, enmity between people. So we should analyze, are my relations good with all? Do I have bad terms with my relatives or with people around me? Do I have some differences with people? My mood is off with some? Do I want bad for some? Do I feel jealous on seeing the blessings of Allah on others? Do I plot for others? Do I backbite, do calumny, or accuse others? If it is so, then please, for God's sake, this is the month of Ramadan, full of mercy, blessings, forgiveness. So benefit from this mercy and do du'as that, O Allah, you purify our hearts, clean our hearts from every enmity, grudge, filth, jealousy, so that we can live in this world peacefully and gain akhirah goodness as well. And if I have wronged anyone, so I can say sorry to that person. If not verbal, at least you can write and say sorry. It doesn't matter. If you acknowledge your mistake, so it increases your value. The reason of having bad relations is that man is a prey to nafs desires. And he has long expectations that I will live for so long and I will get such and such things. And thus he forgets to find faults in himself. Rasulullah said, I fear two dangerous things from my ummah. Number one, nafs desires. Number two, long expectations. He said, nafs desires stop from true word and it does not let you accept haq. And long expectations makes man forget his akhirah.